Teams everywhere are dealing with a serious problem, a productivity problem. It's no secret, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Most tech is too complicated, there are too many time-consuming tasks, and teams aren't getting the info they need to close deals and connect with customers. Don't worry, though. HubSpot's customer platform can help. It was built to save time and make your job easier so you can get back to building your business. No more hours wasted on time-consuming tasks. No more chasing down prospect info. No more one system for this, another system for that. HubSpot can help you find leads, reach prospects, and deliver the insights you need to convert them to customers, all in one place. Plus, HubSpot AI can literally do more of your work for you so you can focus more on scaling your business. Because HubSpot knows you have some big growth goals, and they're here to make your productivity problem no problem at all. Visit HubSpot.com to learn how they can help you grow better. Welcome to Thursday, everybody. It's April 18th. I'm John Weigel here with Juliet Bennett-Ryla, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. We all know YouTube is filled to the brim with tech review accounts, but Marques Brownlee's channel, with millions of views per video, is at the peak right now. So much so that his bad review of Humane AI's AI pin has brought into question how ethical it is to bash product when you have real influence over the public's adoption of it. So how did Brownlee respond to all this, and what should the position be of a reviewer nowadays? We'll get to that in a bit, but first let's run down the hits and headlines today in business and tech. Starting off today with Alaska Airlines, more bad news for Alaska Airlines. They suffered delays yesterday after a system upgrade led to a ground stop at the airline's request, temporarily pausing all flights. That's not it, though. Meanwhile, United Airlines said that the grounding of Boeing's 737 MAX 9s, which occurred after a door plug blew off an Alaska Airlines flight earlier this year, cost the company about $200 million in Q1. Ouch. Next, the new average lowest salary Americans say they'd accept at a new job is $81,800, which is up from $73,300 in November and higher than the nation's median full-time salary of $60,000. What do you make of this year-to-year significant increase, Juliet?
I think the same thing we're all seeing. If eggs are going to cost as much as they cost, if milk's going to cost, you know, groceries, doing anything, rent, don't even get me started. People feel like they need more to get by. I think we all know it's very difficult to survive now on minimum wage, let alone even a salary that we used to think was good, which was in the 60s and 70s. So depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, very depressing. I think on like a story that you and I are going to cover later today, in your story, it says a device came out in 2009 and it was $200. And in parentheses, it says $300 today. And I'm like, that's insane. How did that happen? I used to think that was a thing with like the 1940s to now, not like 10 years ago. All right. Next, moving into the video game industry, video game studio Take-Two Interactive is set to lay off about 5% of its workforce and drop several projects. The announcement comes amid its efforts to acquire developer Gearbox for $460 million. Now, Juliet, we've talked a bit on the show about the video game industry and how it's kind of in decline. Is this just kind of another symptom of this game crisis?
You know, it's really confusing to me because it seems like the video game industry is doing relatively well. People are still buying video games.
Yeah.
Gearbox is the studio behind Borderlands, and they're making what looks like the world's worst movie about Borderlands. You know, we're seeing video game TV shows be huge hits, Last of Us, Fallout.
Yeah.
People are still making a lot of microtransactions. What's most confusing to me, though, is like, I don't know, it just seems like maybe it's like this weird sort of let's cut back, let's appease the shareholders kind of thing, because I say this all the time, but like that Belgian studio that made Baldur's Gate 3, they swept all the video game awards. They created a massive game that was just one price. They have no other profit making schemes. You don't have to buy skins or DLC. And like they are frequently talking about how they have not had to lay anybody off. They used all real voice actors. They motion captured everything. They didn't use AI. They didn't cut any corners. And I think recently, because they're a Belgian studio, they were like, yeah, we don't care about shareholders. And so part of me is wondering, like, are you just trying to like make the numbers look better? Like, I don't get it. I mean, the video game industry is so wildly successful. I don't know. We should do some research and talk about this again because it's very confusing to me.
We definitely should, because all these studios can't be struggling the same way. And given that the video game industry is better than it's ever been right now, I'm wondering why they're all laying off so many people. And especially in this case, because Take-Two Interactive is about to spend $460 million to acquire a developer. So strange how these things line up how they do.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that like the cost of just developing a video game has grown, especially a AAA game, because, you know, people expect really amazing cutscenes and all of this stuff. But yeah, it's a little perplexing.
Yeah. And finally, Comcast is set to launch now a new low-cost month-to-month internet and phone plan option for $20 to $45 a month. We'll see how that performs there. Okay, on to the main story today. Marques Brownlee's negative review of Humane AI's AI Pin has brought into the question of if it's fair for a popular reviewer to give new products bad reviews. This question itself seems pretty easy to answer, but some aren't exactly happy that a single person can entirely determine a company's future. So, Julia, did you watch the review, and how bad exactly was it?
It wasn't, yes, he said it was the worst product he'd ever reviewed to date. So,
okay. yeah, there you go.
Okay. Sure. But, you know, he was not alone in saying that the AI Pin just didn't work. Pretty much every review I read across The Verge, Wired, every single review, Washington Post even, it was like, yeah, this thing would be cool if it worked, but it doesn't. It's slow, it's laggy, it's glitchy, it's missing a bunch of features. It gets hot, like literally gets hot when you have it clipped to your chest, you know, and it doesn't work. So when you're talking about a device that costs almost $700 plus a monthly subscription, people expect it to work.
Yeah.
You know, could he have phrased it nicer? Like,
yeah,
this product is just not very good. Sure. But I don't think he needs to. I don't think that's a requirement.
Yeah. So you did mention up top that places like The Verge or CNET or other tech reviewers have taken a look at this product and also similarly said that it wasn't too great. So why do you think so many people are kind of dogpiling on one YouTube channel for just saying that this product is not very good?
I kind of think this is one of those debates that exists because media exists, because people like you and I need something to talk about every day, kind of, you know, it's like, I think there was like one guy or a couple of guys who were like, you know, this guy's got 18 million subscribers or whatever, and it's really not fair that he can tank a company by saying that this product sucks and now no one's going to buy it. And then I think people kind of picked up on that because it was such a ludicrous thing to say. And, you know, I think most people are kind of in agreement. Like, no, it's not his job to sugarcoat this review. He's not getting paid by the company.
Right.
We want these sort of refreshing reviews. We don't expect people to be really nice if they really think that this is truly the worst product they've ever tested. So I think the debate kind of exists on X, basically, with people posting. And it's kind of almost a manufactured debate. But I do think that it does raise a lot of interesting questions about the state of reviews today, where we're not getting those kind of honest reviews because journalism has kind of fallen to the wayside in favor of influencers and bloggers in many cases. And most of our shopping is done online, where we know that Amazon and even Sephora, like even retailers you would trust, have had issues with people and companies paying for reviews and then trying to falsely inflate how good their product is.
Yeah, I mean, totally makes sense. We've seen that across the board, that reviews aren't exactly the most honest and genuine on the internet, which I feel like is why somebody like a YouTuber or like an actual face-to-cam person who isn't paid by a certain company would be a good person to listen to on something like this.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, some tech founders are not too happy about this review, but at the same time, how are you going to get an honest answer to a question that you have that's not an advertisement?
Humane is a company that last known valuation was $850 million. So it's not this poor little indie struggling startup. It did release a product that it wanted to charge people $700 for that isn't good. Let's say there were no reviews, but a bunch of people thought it sounded really cool and then they bought it and then it didn't work. And now they're flooding consumer reviews. They don't have to be somebody with a huge following. If you go and look up at any product and it has a one-star review, like you're not going to buy it. And if you make too many false claims and then you don't follow through on that, you're going to maybe have some legal problems, if you know. So it's better, I think, that no one buys it right now, but yet give them the grace to perhaps iterate on it and make it better in the future.
Yeah, and you did write in this article as well about the other side of reviews, how, you know, companies are paying for reviews on certain sites like Amazon or Yelp. But there is also another side to that of people just absolutely lambasting something because they don't like a creative decision that was made, or they don't like something that was done by a certain company, mm-hmm. bringing their reviews down too.
You know, we are in an age where pretty much anyone can get on the internet and express their opinion for better or for worse. And I think that has made it very difficult to trust online reviews. If somebody doesn't like that there are too many girls in a Star Wars movie, they will get on Rotten Tomatoes and crash that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless, you know, is that movie good? Is that movie bad? I don't know. But like, I think people, they've never even seen something. They've never even played the video game, but it doesn't have what they want in it or what they think they're owed. So they want to trash it. Alternatively, sometimes you might go on Yelp and you might get a little alert that's like, hey, this business is in the news, so be careful of these reviews. Sometimes that's just like, I don't know, someone caught the owner of a business yelling at a duck in the middle of the street. And now it's they're the main character of Twitter. And now people in Alaska are commenting on this bakery in Idaho. This guy sucks. One star. Don't go there. And they've never been there, you know.
Yep. So you right.
You have a lot of moving parts all of the time. And then it's like, where do you even go to get your trusted reviews? I don't know. There's a thing that I think has happened. So before I was at The Hustle a long time ago, I used to work in Loco LA News. And the site that I worked for, we didn't have a particular beat. If it existed in LA, we would go cover it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that would mean going to maybe see a new movie, maybe go to a new art exhibit, see a new play, see a new restaurant, whatever. The LA Times back in the day, most big newspapers back in the day, whoever the restaurant reviewer was, they were completely incognito. They had like a card with a fake name. You didn't ever see their face. You didn't know who they were. And so when they went into a restaurant, they paid for everything and they had the exact experience that any other customer would have. And they gave a full, honest review. Mm-hmm. That is not what my experience was doing this even 5-6 years ago. It was, I'm invited to have a free meal, which depending on the publication is totally allowed. If they don't want to allow you to expense things, then they let you have the free meal. And then you get there and there's like 10 influencers and they all have to get the perfect shot. So if it's like a pasta, they got to get the cheese pull. It's like, it's all about the plating and looking cute. And it would just be like 20 minutes of Instagram photos. And then the food is cold and nobody really ate it as intended. And then because they want to get invited to other stuff by that same PR agency, it's a glowing, amazing review. And so it's like, what is real? Or when I was reviewing movies, I noticed that some reviewers, they really wanted to have their publication or their name on a billboard or in a magazine article. Universal, Sony, they're not going to put your name on it if you're like, this movie's trash. So they would, you know, try to come up with that pithy sentence that they thought would get put on the billboard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. In many ways, I can't blame people who all of a sudden journalism's not a viable industry in the way that it used to be. And now you're like, you've got all these bloggers who are like, I get paid like shit. I get to go to the premiere of this movie and I get to have free dinner. And I want to keep that train going. And it's just, the whole system is just really whack right now. So when you have somebody like Brownlee who can just get online and say, I don't give a shit, nobody's paying me, this device sucks, it's kind of refreshing.
It is kind of refreshing. And definitely considering that the internet is just like, anybody can give their thoughts on literally anything, and anybody can contort any sort of messaging that they want to contort, or make a place rated 1 stars if they get all their friend and like rate it 1 star, make a place rated 5 star if they get all friends to rate it 5 stars, or give Morbius a 5-star rating. They can do whatever they want. So, I mean, I guess like the big message here is just be careful when you're looking for reviews online and try to make sure it's coming from an honest source that doesn't have many ties to the company or product in question.
Yeah. And you know what? If you think a company can be tanked by a single bad review, it's not him. It's the product. If the product was good, he would have given it a good review. If you look at his reviews,
exactly.
In my opinion, it just seems like he's pretty straight across the board. So.
Oh, yeah. No, they will not be losing their $850 million valuation anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah. You know what? The AI pen actually sounds really cool, and I hope they get it worked out.
All right. And that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for tuning into the Hustle Daily Show. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hey, everybody, this great new podcast just came out, and I can't wait to tell you about it. It's called The Next Wave, AI and the Future of Technology, and it's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. And of course, it's brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. You can catch The Next Wave with Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands, who are leading AI creators who are your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is a bit fragmented, but The Next Wave strives to be the leading podcast on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. You can listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.